Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
All right, here we go. Tyler, story number one by everybody's calculation, even though it was interesting for you to go through the grading system today and see that, hey, maybe, you know, by a grading system, Drew Lock actually had a better day than you all thought. Still not great for Teddy or for Drew, actually. But that being said, the vast majority of reviews have Teddy winning the day. They go into tomorrow. And by the way, they are you are going to owe me a coffee. They are going to have, I think. I mean, they said they're
just telling
practice.
You, I'm not giving up on that one just yet. I've been in that situation where you show up to work, you've got your meetings, and they don't tell you, and then it's like the ultimate celebration. Hey, go on home, no practice.
Is it a bounce back day for Teddy, or is it steady Teddy, and it's just Drew Lock that's up or down?
Oh, it's definitely not a bounce back day for Teddy. Teddy hasn't had a day that he's really excelled. He hasn't had a single day that we've gotten reports, man, Teddy Bridgewater throwing bombs left and right, doing audibles on the line of scrimmage. Just, he is doing things that Drew Lock cannot do. Not a single play have we heard that Teddy Bridgewater did something that let me try that again.
Yes.
Not a single play have we heard that Teddy Bridgewater did something that Drew Lock cannot do. Whereas we have heard that plenty with Drew Lock. This is just Drew Lock, unfortunately, reverting to the mean for himself, which is a little bit of a roller coaster. And like I said yesterday, Drew Lock isn't going to win the job based off of days like yesterday. Drew Lock's going to win the job when he strings together four or five just normal average practices that don't have the mistakes. It's not about, see, Drew, and I get it, man. If I was in his shoes, if I had the big arm and I knew that the guy next to me didn't have it, I would want to show it off too. Mm. I would want to make big plays. But what Drew needs to recognize right now is that everybody knows that. Everybody knows he's got the better arm. Everybody knows that he's got more talent. But what he needs to do is just slow it down and maybe play like Teddy a little bit more. Take the checkdowns.
Bring it, Kevin.
Outside of quarterback, what was the biggest observation of the day?
Jerry Jeudy should be a superstar in this league. Jerry Jeudy, in the practices that if you just add it all up, has clearly been the best overall football player for the Denver Broncos. That's my biggest takeaway. Jerry Jeudy has had a hell of a spring/summer here.
I love it. I love it. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, Jerry Jeudy had a good rookie season if you took away all the drops. You can't. It's a part of the story. And for sure, he cost you probably two games last year. If Jerry Jeudy doesn't have those drops, he had a superstar year last year.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked at all to hear that Jerry Jeudy has been playing like that. It's going to be all about how does he handle the first drop or two that he has this season, and does that turn into a spiral? Because what I didn't like about Jerry Jeudy, the biggest disappointment I had last year actually wasn't the drops. It was the body language that happened after the drops, and it was the throwing the helmet and the smashing the head and just the utter look of disappointment on the sideline. Hey, man, get back to the huddle and go again. You know, and if you're going to go to the sideline and throw a temper tantrum every time, you're probably going to drop another ball. So Jerry Jeudy just has to get over that, and then he will be a superstar.
All right, Kevin. Here is Teddy Bridgewater with Mike Kliss. He's been accused of throwing floaters, according to Jerry Jeudy. And Teddy said that's more about being accurate. But here he talks about the importance of arm strength.
You know, for me, my game is totally different from Drew's game. And Drew's arm is off the charts. Some of the throws he's able to make, you know, you sit back and you just, you know, admire it. You know, for me, my game is more so just trying to anticipate, trying to play fast. I'm not the guy that's going to throw the ball 80 yards down the field. So if I can be, you know, on time with my feet and anticipate the throws, then I'm playing at my best.
Even Teddy Bridgewater admits I don't have the strongest arm in the world, but that's his approach.
Yeah, but what did he sound like? Who does he sound like? Seriously.
Oh, man, I don't know. Who?
I guess I didn't mean a specific person, but Teddy Bridgewater sounds like a coach. That's how a coach would speak.
All right.
Seriously.
I get that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Play it again. I pretend this is Vic Fangio talking about how he wants his quarterback to play.
All right.
Well, I think there's enough work to be had for everybody.
Wait a second. That is crazy.
You know, for me, my game is totally different from Drew's game. And
Drew's arm is off the charts. Some of the throws he's able to make, you know, you sit back and you just admire it. You know, for me, my game is more so just trying to anticipate, trying to play fast. I'm not the guy that's going to throw the ball 80 yards down the field. So if I can be, you know, on time with my feet and anticipate the throws, then I'm playing at my best.
That sounds like my every Wednesday install meeting. You know?
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing at all. It's good that he recognizes who he is. You always got to know who you are. It was hard for me as a player when I would have a coach that would try to make me play a certain style of football that I knew that I just couldn't be good at. You got to let me be an athlete. You can't expect me to be a mauler. I'm not a North and South style blocker. I'm not that physical. I'm not that strong. But I'm more athletic than my opponent. So you got to let me be an athlete out here. When you try to make a guy be something that he's not, well, they usually can't play good football. Teddy knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. And that's why coaches, for the most part, even though they do give up on him a lot, they still see enough in him that what they want him around. Because he knows how to think like a coach.
Ring Kevin.
You know, I had a little bit of a personal revelation that came up yesterday for the first time. I don't know why it took so long, but yesterday it kind of hit me that, you know what? Vic Fangio, yeah, he probably wants Teddy Bridgewater to be his quarterback, but Pat Shurmur, he's got to still have aspirations of being a head coach. He's got to. I don't think he's going to be, but you ask him that or you tell him that, mm-hmm. He's got to think that he wants to be.
Sure.
If he wants to be a head coach, who do you think he wants to be the starting quarterback? Who gives him the best chance?
I think Drew Lock gives him the best chance.
I agree.
Because the NFL already knows who Teddy Bridgewater is, and if you're looking to be a head coach, it's not about can you manage things, it's who can you develop.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's about excitement, for sure. I mean, you don't become a head coach. In today's game, it used to be different. Unless your name's Vic Fangio. You don't get a head coaching job without excitement, without something that is new, without changing the game a little bit, right?
There's no doubt that it helped Mike McCoy because he got to the playoffs with Tebow, and Adam Gase because they were on board for the magical Peyton Manning run, especially in the first 2 years where he was just shattering offensive records left and right. So, yeah, I think it makes sense that you want somebody that is going to develop something as a head coach. Which is kind of interesting because, really, don't you want a head coach to be a great manager of people and situations more so than a coach? But that doesn't tend to be the trend.
But that's changing. You see, today, all the head coaches are calling plays. They're all young guys that didn't give it up, right?
Right.
They're not really
Correct.
Managers anymore.
Correct. Ring Kevin. All right, Jokic. Voted first team all pro. Good for Jokic. That's awesome. Second of all, the viral video of Jokic's brothers is somewhat terrifying. And we were texted details of an article where Jokic said the only people he was afraid of in his life were his brothers.
And now I understand. Also, that his brothers used to throw knives around his head, like as a game. They threw darts with knives around his head.
On the scale of 1 to 10 in terms of guys you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley, where would you put the Jokic brothers?
Oh, I mean, I'd beat them down, but I'm the dark alley guy.
You're the danger.
Right.
You're the one who knocks.
Right, right.
Gotcha.
Right. I'm the dark alley guy.
Bring it, Kevin.
The Jokic brothers have been to places that I never want to be. I'll tell you that much. They look terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. What do you think is going to happen? Okay, actually, let me change this. If you had to predict one surprise in a training camp battle, what do you think the surprise would be? What position, what players? I know you're talking there. I'll say it again if you didn't hear it.
Thank you. Sorry. One more time.
You son of a gun. I try to stall, too. I keep going.
Sorry. One more time.
If you had to predict one surprise of a training camp battle, somebody that comes out on top that maybe you didn't think that he would.
I got a great one for you.
Okay.
All right. I'll do two for you, but I'll do one that's kind of funny and not as sexy, but it's the punting situation.
Oh.
You have a crazy this Max. Oh heck, what's his name? What's his last name?
Duffy.
Max Duffy. This is sneaky fascinating. Matt Stuffy has a different type of way of kicking a football because he's this Australian rules guy. So it is not the there's more of that swinging leg, low line drive, sort of accuracy sort of thing. Yeah. Dude, we have watched him time after time after time bury the football inside of the 5-yard line going out of bounds. But it's a little weird because it's not a big high punt. It's more kind of a line drive accuracy sort of thing. But it does like have a way of just being this screaming line drive that goes out at the right spot. So this is actually going to be a really fascinating decision the Broncos are going to have to make because they're paying Sam Martin a couple of bucks. The other thing is going to be the kind of the crazy Callahan-Patrick Sertan competition that's going on because you gotta have Patrick Sertan on the field. Have to as much as possible. But where? And you really may have to just move out Callahan from that spot. I don't know how else you manage it.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's going to be Callahan. I think Callahan is the Fangio fan favorite. Callahan is absolutely in the good graces of Fangio. Fangio loves him. He's been around him. It's kind of like Fuller a little
bit.
Well,
who do you think it's going to be then?
This was going to be my surprise. You're one of your big free agency signings. He's not going to play much this year. Darby. Okay. Pat Surtain is going to be a starting outside corner. Fuller will be your number one. Pat Surtain will be your number two. Callahan's going to be playing on the inside. And Darby's going to be playing in a reserve role.
Okay. Ring it, Kevin. It's going to be interesting to watch. No doubt about it.
Base hit up to...
Patrick Saunders, our fan Rockies insider, who covers the Rockies for the Denver Post, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. They did it. They swept the Padres, who have definitely been on a stumble, 2 of 8 in their last 10. The Rockies, though, sweep a team that has a lot of great players and had been playing well until recently. And then you realize Patrick Saunders, the Rockies, next to the Cubs, tied with the Dodgers, have the most wins at home and, of course, epically horrific on the road. So how do we balance this out, Patrick? What's going on?
Guys, you know what? You'd be millionaires if you could figure this one out. This is one of the weirdest teams I think I've ever covered, right? I mean, at home lately, they're a buzzsaw. I mean, they are just, they're confident. For the most part, they pitched well, although Kyle Freeland did not pitch well today. But for the most part, they pitched well. You get this sense from them that they're going to get the big hit. They're going to get the rallies. They run the bases well. For the most part, they field well. Man, they get on the road, and they look like a completely different team. I really, you know, other than the Coors Field splits, which, you know, this franchise has lived with forever, I don't really know how to explain it because, yeah, there's been splits before, but nothing like this. If you guys have a definitive answer, I'd like to hear it because I don't.
Patrick, it's kind of fascinating to me that not only the win-loss disparity at home versus the road, but you've actually got a handful of players on this team that are really playing well, probably at an all-star level. How many guys do you think have a chance of being an all-star?
I would say right now... I think Ryan McMahon will definitely go. Now, I don't know if he'll get voted in by the fans because he's kind of an unknown. And the Rockies put him in as a second baseman as opposed to a third baseman, which is probably smart because, you know, at third you've got Arenado, Machado, and some other guys. Even though he's played both positions, they put him on the ballot as a second baseman. But he definitely deserves it. The other contenders... I don't think Story will probably make it, although he's playing better lately, unless he gets super hot. You know, a guy just might creep in there could be Daniel Bard, believe it or not. Mm. He's got, I think, 9 saves. He's pitched, for the most part, pretty well. Tapia, maybe? I mean, he's really hot right now. Those would be my top candidates.
That seems like a lot, though. I mean, seriously, that seems like a reasonable amount of guys that are playing at a really high level. How can you be so bad when you've got that amount of guys?
Maybe it's because of a guy you didn't mention, Patrick, and that's Gomber, who Judging him on his home stuff, he's a slam dunk all-star. Slam dunk. He's one of the best pitchers in the league. But if you factor in everything else, maybe not. I still think, I'm curious why you didn't mention his name when you were mentioning everybody else.
Probably because I'm so used to never counting Rockies starting pitchers as all-star contenders that I'd slip my mind. I'm being a smart ass, but no, you're right. That was an oversight. Gomber's been awesome. I mean, at Coors Field, guys, the five starts, he has an 0.95 ERA. I think over his last eight games, if I have this stat right, his ERA is low twos. He has struck out 41 and walked, I believe it's three batters. He's been awesome lately. So, D-Mac, good catch because, his record and overall ERA might not be great because of a pretty shaky start. But Gomber's been, right now, Gomber is the Rockies' best pitcher.
And what do you think the Rockies will do for Nolan when he comes into town in a couple weeks? Do you think they will have some sort of celebration, video, I don't know, red carpet? What do you think it'll look like?
I don't, you're the first person who's asked me that, and that's the first thing I've thought about how the Rockies themselves will treat him. I think the fans will greet him warmly and enthusiastically. I don't know what the Rockies will do. I don't think they'll do anything.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious.
That's a mistake.
Okay. I mean, if you think you really think they're going to? You think they're going to put up a big video tribute?
I think they should.
He forced himself out of town?
Yes, I do.
I think they should put up a sign that says, "We know we lost the PR war, and now we are totally kissing up to him, and we're going to try to, he's the greatest guy ever."
I mean, if Bridges was still here, maybe no, but I think Tyler's right here, Patrick. You got to have a... He's going to get standing ovations when he comes to the plate.
Well, I agree, but that's from the fans. I'm just curious what the organizations can do. Hey, guys, I may be wrong. And truthfully, and this is my bad, I hadn't thought about it until you guys brought it up, what the organization is going to do. And the classy thing would probably be to do a video highlight thing and say thank you and everything. And you know what? I suppose you're right. They probably will. But my gut was, when you first asked me that, it wasn't exactly on good terms that he left here. And will the Rockies, will they go above and beyond and do something for him? It's a great question, and we'll have to see. I'm glad you brought it up. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the Rockies are going to be bigger than I give them credit for.
All right, last one. Tyler and I have a season-long coffee bet on the following.
I'm pretty nervous.
Isn't it a week-long payoff, too? Or
yeah, I think it might be. Yeah, all right. This is a big one.
Now, this is going to sound insane for my part that I made this bet, but we're close to halfway through the season. I bet that Ryan McMahon would have a better season than Nolan Arenado. Okay.
So because he was mad at Nolan, but
yeah, I was mad at it. It was kind of a petty bet that I thought for sure I would lose, but I was trying to make a point, meaning that pitching is more important than who plays third base. Ryan McMahon, let me go through some basic numbers because this is what we were going to judge it off of. Okay. And you can go through detailed stats, but this is what we're going to base it off of. Average home runs, RBI and OPS. Okay. So you tell me. Who is having the better season? Ryan McMahon is hitting .260, 16 home runs, 43 ribbies, .832 OPS. Those numbers? Okay. Nolan Arenado is hitting .273, 12 home runs, 44 RBI with an .821 OPS. Who's having a better season?
I would have to... Truthfully, knowing the metrics as I do on defensively, and I know you said we're not including that, but if I throw that in the equation,
yeah,
I'd say right now Ryan McMahon's having a better season.
I got to admit that I'm nervous for
sure. Should we let Patrick be the judge?
And I think Ryan has had more impactful hits or as many impactful hits as Nolan has.
There's no room for error here. I mean, we've defined what it is.
We have. I think on those numbers, they're slightly better for, it's small. It's small, but they're slightly better for Ryan McMahon. Because you'd rather have more home runs than a batting average for guys like that.
Oh, no, you got me sweating here at this point, for sure.
Okay. All right, Patrick, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider, brought to you courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. We'll keep following that. Okay, we asked Richie and Kevin to do some research for us because when we were talking about Teddy Bridgewater, who he is, and you said he makes mistakes.
He does.
Right. So, of his 11 interceptions last year, what we didn't know, and the fellas have done some research on, is what situations did those interceptions happen? Meaning, what we're seeing out of Steady Teddy is that if everything's going right, he's fine. But could he really lead you from behind? So it's a guess on my part that the interceptions came when he was under pressure duress, they were trailing in games, that sort of thing. But I don't know that for a fact. What do we got, Richie?
Well, out of his 11 interceptions, 6 of the 11 came when they were trailing, they being the Panthers.
Okay.
So, and 2 of those 6 came in the red zone or the end zone.
Oh, that's extra bad. That's like double negative.
Yep. So you have that.
You got a scoring opportunity, and not only you turned over the ball, but that's like a 14-point swing almost.
Correct. Yeah, one of them he threw in a double coverage. It was bad. The other one he just underthrew somebody in the end zone. It was an easy pick. So that was 2. And then he had 3 of the 11 came when the game was tied.
Okay.
And then 2 of them came when they were leading, usually in the first quarter.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good then. That more or less, again, we're painting the same type of story. He's unlikely to make bad mistakes early in games, and that's what we kind of see in practice. He's a smart guy. He's a smart quarterback. But he will make mistakes, as you pointed out, as a lot of quarterbacks probably would, under more pressure, that sort of thing.
Yep. When you allow Teddy Bridgewater to go out there and dink and dunk, he's probably going to be pretty safe. Most quarterbacks will be. But then when he's got to go make a play, he makes too many mistakes. Hey, man. That is an issue in this conversation that we flat out have not addressed enough, and we should. Teddy Bridgewater turns the ball over way more than he should. It's not just the interceptions, by the way. How many I bet he had 5 fumbles last year, too. Maybe even more than that. Off the top of my head, I can think of a lot. So, you know, you're talking about a guy that ends up putting the ball in another team's hands. Not as often as Drew Lock, but way more often than he should. Now, here's the fascinating part, is that so far, that has not shown up in practice. Why is that not showing up in practice? Well, because in practice, you're not in those stress situations that you get in like you are in a real game. You're not trailing. Yeah, you practice a 2-minute drill, but you don't play from behind for 15 straight minutes, right? And when you come out in the second half and you're down by 18 points, guess what? Game plan's out the window. We're throwing the ball the rest of the game. That's what we're doing because it's the only way to come back.
I tried to find 6 fumbles.
So it was more than I said.
Richie. Yeah. Nice job.
3 lost fumbles, 6 total.
So he turned the ball over 14 times. All right. Sorry. How many times did Drew fumble it? Because we know he had 15 interceptions.
That's right. You're looking for who had the most turnovers.
Who turned the ball over the most? Because now it's getting pretty close.
You're right.
All of a sudden, Teddy Bridgewater's at 14.
I think there was at least one with Drew that I can kind of remember off the top of my head, but I don't know if there's more than one.
I don't know. Yep. Fumbles are a weird one because
Drew fumbled the ball 8 times lost 3 of them.
Nice. Oh, but so it's close.
Well,
so total turnovers are
18 for Drew.
And 16 for Teddy.
14.
14. Oh, okay.
I mean, look, it's way too close than it should be.
All right. I did hear something. I heard something during the practice today that did surprise me, that if you are a conspiracy theorist about the media and Drew Lock, oh, are you going to love this? Are you going to love this? That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net, call 303-388-8766, or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
No controversy today, Tyler.
No.
No.
Notes backed up the thoughts. Thoughts backed up the notes. Which way you want to look at it?
Well, I was, I was doing my notes until my phone overheated.
We've only got a partial grade today. I can't believe you did that to us.
This isn't even, if you want to do it, fine, but you don't even have to bother. I mean, this is like when you go out to play golf and you keep score for the first, like, six or seven holes because you're, like, two over and you're like, oh, I'm doing
all right. Oh, this is fun, yeah.
Yeah. Then on a par three, you shoot a nine.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, I'm just playing for fun today.
Yeah, no, we're not going to count this one anymore.
Right. Yeah. We're just like, I'm good.
Yeah, that's why you never keep score until at least hole five because you can always think back on the first four holes. If they were good, it's not going to be that hard to think back
Correct.
About hole five, then you got to make the decision. Do I want to keep score or not?
Yeah, exactly. And usually it's, oh, no. But that's what today was. So I'm going along. I'm realizing what's happening. And it really did overheat. The phone overheated as I was just fire was coming out of my note-taking. And the phone just stopped.
Come on, Apple. I mean, seriously.
Right.
We can't handle a little 90-degree day?
I guess not.
We're going to blow up over 90 degrees, huh?
And it was right when they were doing red zone team, 11 on 11. And it was Teddy Bridgewater's day. That's all. So, I mean, you can go back and grade whatever I did get. I did send what I had.
Hey, man, I wasn't at practice. I was following along. I was watching the tweets. And
I mean,
it didn't take me long to figure out that, hey, we've got the exact same trend as always. What do you know? Drew Lock throws an early interception. Yep. Teddy Bridgewater's out there looking steady Eddie. Doesn't really do anything spectacular. But Drew Lock more or less goes out there and loses the day by default because he makes mistakes. So.
It was a stupid mistake, too. It was a play on the interception that it just wasn't happening. The play was taking too long. Most likely in a situation like that in a game, you would have been sacked or you would have had to ditch the ball, which is basically what he should have done. And instead, he forced a throw to the sideline. Justin Simmons anticipated it. Pick six, dude. And it's like, just throw that in the ground. And sure enough, Teddy Bridgewater had a snap earlier where things just kind of blew up in front of him and he just ditched the ball.
Yeah. That's going to be the hard part for Drew Lock right now is that's hard for every young player knowing when to get rid of the ball, knowing when to give up on a play. But it's really hard when you're in a competition because when you're in a competition, you want to make everything look great and you want to make sure that you've got the opportunity to show off your arm. Shoot, Teddy acknowledged it to everybody. He said that Drew definitely has got a better arm.
Right.
Drew knows that. He's trying to he's trying to remind everybody of the things that he does well. And I'm honestly not knocking him for that. That's human nature. When you're in a competition, you don't think to yourself, boy, the best thing for me to do to win this job is to give up on this play.
Then at the end of practice, because today was the day Teddy got to play mostly with the ones. And Drew was the second guy in. And they didn't flip-flop like they did yesterday. They just kept that rotation, Teddy, then Drew the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
And in the final period, when it was, I don't know, from the 7 or 8 yard line, Teddy Bridgewater with a floater. He does throw floater sort of passes, but that's timing and that's accuracy. And he threw a beautiful one to Jerry Jeudy, little toe tap, left sideline and touchdown, and it was nice.
I love Teddy's response when he was asked about the arm strength. And, do you throw floaters out there? What did he say? He said, I like to think that I throw accurate passes, something like that, right?
Right. But he did acknowledge Locke has a stronger arm, which is obvious, too. That's not a question. It was interesting on the next play.
I'm sure this pass fail, just for the record, real quick. That is one of the most over-discussed attributes of any quarterback, arm strength. Mm. Everybody falls in love with it. It's not like you get better the stronger your arm gets. Yes, you can make a few more throws than other guys can make, but more or less, arm strength is a pass-fail test. It's like 225 for offensive linemen. Did you do it 23 times? Because if you did, I don't really care if you did it 45 or if you did it 23, but you passed the test, That's what arm strength is.
Yeah, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater's arm strength is fine in terms of the passes that most of the time you need to be able to make. He's not like, I'm going to fire it in, John Elway, get it in that tiny, tight window at the last second. But his game isn't about the last second. His game, Teddy Bridgewater's entire game, is about not making mistakes and just trying to move the ball. He does struggle to score, so it was interesting. The final play he had of the final team period was a called. He didn't just scramble. It was a called quarterback run that he got into the end zone. So, I mean, you know it was a call because it wasn't a broken play. There wasn't confusion on it. His instincts with it were exactly what you would do if you were running the ball.
Okay.
Not sure exactly why they called that kind of play, but they did.
Well, QB drawdown in the lower red zone is a actual really common play call. So that's not abnormal at all.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater is probably not going to have to do anything that sexy. And it's a little bit disappointing that we're sitting here on the second to last day of the offseason with OTAs and mini camps, and we're going back and forth on the quarterbacks. I would like to think that by the time you got through mini camp, that theoretically, I know they weren't going to do this, but I'd like to think that theoretically you could say, yeah, this guy is better. Well, I guess we've got enough tally marks next to Teddy Bridgewater's name that we can say that he's had a better offseason, but it's definitely not night and day, even still, who the quarterback should be. So we're going to go into training camp. We're going to have the same old, same old, it's going to go on way longer than it should, and unfortunately. No, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe we'll get Aaron Rodgers before then.
Right. Well, our own James Verlat had an interesting comment that I think will surprise people. And this is a, bit behind the scenes, but I don't think he would mind me sharing it. I'll do so coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Woo! So here's my guy, Jimmy Verlat. And Mike Evans is out there today, too.
Nice.
Mike is so funny, man. He wants to stir the pot so bad. What do they call him?
Now, how red were his shoes? Because that's all I heard about.
Oh, my God.
The awfully red shoes that Mike Evans was wearing.
Yeah, he kind of was the man of white sneakers, and he went the incredible polar opposite.
Yeah, kind of fits his nose, that red nose.
And what do they call him? Not the crapster, the wedge driver. Right. So, Cecil, who will be up here in a second, Cecil was coming after me, it wasn't a dominant performance.
Oh, yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting come after by a lot of people, buddy. I mean, I couldn't believe that beatdown you took from Nick Ferguson. That was just boom. pow.
Did I hear that? Oh, when he was on with us.
Yes.
Well, listen, I determine in my mind why he had a dominant performance over Teddy Bridgewater yesterday was he was so much better where it mattered the most. But okay, if you don't see it that way. It was funny, there were grumbles out there. It was pretty funny that sort of tone that how good Drew Lock did. Boy, this would be some grist for the mill if there's some sort of If there's suspicions, there's an anti-Drew Lock media bias. I get it. Because it was weird to hear from so many other media people how they were sort of, he was okay, except, he was better in that one period, but it was just one period.
It's funny you say that because I wasn't going to bring it up yesterday because you were getting beat down left and right, and it just felt like you didn't need to get piled on to. But in the middle of the show yesterday, I actually got three different text messages from people that were at the practice. And they said, whoa, dude, what is he talking about? That's not what I saw even remotely. Like, yeah, he might have had a better day, but definitely not some sort of dominating performance. So interesting to hear that. Well,
here's where he dominated in the red zone and scoring touchdowns when the other guy was doing nothing.
Sure. That's but he also had all the bad parts as well that Teddy did not have.
Yeah, so. I don't know how you. All right. Well, I'll tell you this. Teddy Bridgewater today, for example, was terrible in the very beginning of practice.
Okay.
Define
terrible because yesterday when we were talking about terrible, we were talking about sacks and interceptions. That was what was going wrong with Drew Lock.
Teddy. For Teddy, it was inaccurate throws and it was just bad throws.
Okay, but again, I mean, big difference. Here I go again, I guess, sounding like the Drew Lock hater. But if you're a coach, there is a huge difference between a bad day with interceptions and sacks and a bad day with just being errant with your throws.
Sure. Sure, fine. But Drew just didn't have that day yet. Drew had a pretty flawless day yesterday aside from one small series. So it wasn't just that, oh, he was just so-so except for one series. It was kind of the opposite. He was like really, really good except for one series. And I'm like, wow, man, I think there actually is. I think if you think there are Drew Lock haters out there in the media, I think you may be right.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I really don't. I mean,
that's what I'm hearing out there.
Well, hold on, T-Bag. Just because they don't agree with your analysis of the practice, there's definitely not. Now you're sounding like a texter on the text line. So they're a hater because they don't agree with your analysis of the performance.
I mean, we
broke down your own notes of Drew Lock yesterday, and the notes would tell you that he didn't have the type of day that you thought that he initially had. That doesn't make you a hater pointing out what the practice was.
I think it goes deeper than that.
I guess you've changed your opinion here a little bit because you said – just yesterday, we were having this conversation about how if the media was going to be biased towards anybody, they would be biased in favor of Drew Lock because that makes our job better.
It would make sense. It should be that way. But there's significant people that it's not that way who have pretty significant influence. So why? I don't know.
Who?
I can't go there. But
if somebody's biased, that's worth calling out. I mean, there's analysis and then there's bias. I haven't met anybody that's biased yet in this situation.
Well, they're there. They may not be they won't have to manifest themselves. If there's more practices like today, it won't matter. Teddy Bridgewater will win this competition. It's not going to be that big of a deal because I wasn't watching today and saying, oh, yeah. Well, you know, Drew Lock really, you know, it was just a bad pass here and bad pass there. Mm-hmm. No, he was not as good as Teddy Bridgewater today. There's no doubt about it. But I do wonder when Drew Lock does have good days in the future, because I think he will the local media that's covering it give him credit for it? And I really think they'll make excuses and just be like, big deal.
You sounded exactly like a texter now.
Hold
on. So are you saying that what we did yesterday was making excuses or taking away from what was a good day by pointing out the bad stuff as well?
No, I think what we did yesterday was great. What we did yesterday was awesome.
But isn't that what you're upset by, that other people didn't agree with your opinion of yesterday?
No. It was...
So what is it? Because that's exactly what it sounds like, is that you're just a little bit hurt that people didn't agree with your opinion.
It was funny because Wedge Driver Mike Evans had Troy Rank on. It was like, D-Max said this and Cecil said that. Troy, what'd you see? And Troy agreed with me.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't use, you know, as colorful language as I did, but he
stopped swearing on the radio.
He agreed with what I saw. I'm here today to tell you Teddy Bridgewater had a better day than Drew Lock.
Yeah.
There's no debate about it. I would challenge you to find anybody who was out there to say that Drew Lock had a better day than Teddy Bridgewater. I bet you can't find any. But then again, anybody who was saying Teddy Bridgewater had a better day than Drew Lock yesterday, or really was, you know, even Steven, except for one period, they're being disingenuous. And I really don't understand it.
That's not disingenuous, T-Mac. We broke it down. That is accurate. That is real. We broke it down. We gave grades to the entire practice. And see, you're being disingenuous by not acknowledging the fact that there was one period in which he took two sacks and he threw the interception. And
today?
No, yesterday. I'm talking about yesterday.
Who, Drew Lock?
Yeah.
No, he didn't have any interceptions yesterday.
It's in your notes.
No, it should have been intercepted, but
correct.
It wasn't.
And in a grade sheet, that gets counted as an interception.
Oh, all right. Well, then right. Teddy Bridgewater should have been intercepted.
Fair enough.
Well.
Fair enough. So my only point here is that now you're trying to ignore one side of the equation.
By the way, the should have interception on Drew Lock yesterday, just to be clear, the ball bounced off a receiver's hands and right to Justin Simmons. I mean, it hit the receiver in the hands. And by the way, today, Drew Lock had three or four passes that were just dropped.
I did hear that. I heard that he got robbed a little bit today because he wasn't out there. He was out there with kind of the threes and the fours, it sounded like, and just didn't get much help from guys.
Anyways, with Jimmy Marilat, who's a great guy, and hanging out there with Evans, I'm like, are you watching everything, Mike? And Mike was taking notes, doing a good job. James summed it up great at the end. He was like, well, we can try to go down the road with somebody who's really exciting, and there are going to be great ups and downs, but it's going to be exciting no matter what. Or we can just go with somebody who's going to be, you know, middle of the road trying to win games 17-14. And the exciting guy is Drew Lock, and the 17-14 guy is Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
That's it.
I think it's as simple as that, and that's why, as a fan, and that's why, as an analyst, I'm sitting here saying that I hope that Drew Lock wins the job. It's going to be more fun for what we do if Drew Lock wins, and for that matter, the team is in a better. They have a better future if Drew Lock wins the job because he could still theoretically be a franchise quarterback. But you got to put yourself in Vic Fangio's shoes also. And if we're going to do our job correctly, you got to actually try to predict what Vic Fangio and company are going to do. And if you're Vic Fangio, you're not looking for the sex appeal. You've got a one-year opportunity here to keep your job as a head coach. And you're probably not going to give that to the dude that's going to put your job in jeopardy.
You're probably right. But I wish they would. I wish they would start with Drew Lock and just see how it goes, and once they make the change, if they were to make the change, then okay, then it's over. I guess I just sit here saying I know the possible upside, the degree of excitement, the future, and what could happen if Drew Lock actually works out is just so much more interesting than if Teddy Bridgewater works out.
Well, that's why I said out the gates that I wasn't interested in trading for Teddy Bridgewater, which people seem to forget. I was not interested in trading for Teddy. I didn't want to trade with him. I said I wanted to move forward with Drew Lock as our quarterback rather than getting a 50-50 battle with Teddy Bridgewater. But we are where we are now, and he's here. So I got to analyze the situation as it sits today. And, yeah, I agree. That's what I would have preferred to have. I would have preferred to just have Drew Lock move forward rather than get stuck with Teddy Bridgewater and, you know, Teddy Two Gloves check down. Well, he's here, though, and so now we've got to do real analysis and try to predict what's going to actually happen with this team based off the guys that we've got.
Well, if you want to hear a couple guys just pile on Drew Lock, they got the ammo to do
it. You're on that trade today.
And Nick and Cecil are up next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.